The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of our Lord. Would invite the children forward for the children's sermon.
We still got a few more coming. All right. Good morning. Good morning to y'all. Back in biblical times, there was a disease called leprosy. And it was a skin disease. If you would get it, it could be any kind of skin disease, but one of the worst kind was if you get sores all over your skin. You'd get them on your nose, your ears. You'd get them on your arms, on your fingers, on your toes, on your legs. You could have sores all over your body, and it was really, really ugly. Looked really bad, and eventually it would make you very sick and maybe even die. Today we still have leprosy, but doctors know that it's caused by germs or viruses, and other diseases are caused by those kind of things, and so there's treatments for those kind of things. But back in biblical times, back in the Bible times, that didn't happen. They didn't know how to cure it. They didn't know how to treat it. And when you got leprosy, people were afraid of you. They didn't want to be around you because they didn't want to catch that disease. And so the people who got leprosy couldn't live in their homes anymore. They couldn't live with their families. They couldn't live in town. They had to live way out in the countryside, maybe in tents or in caves or maybe just even out in the open. They could not go to work. They could not play with their friends. They could not go to school. Nobody wanted to be around the lepers. And when they would come around other people, they had to carry a little bell with them. They had to ring the bell everywhere they went and said, "I'm a leper. Stay away from me. I'm a leper. Stay away from me." Do you think they were lonely? Think they were lonely? And not only did people not want to be around them because they were afraid they may catch the disease, but they also thought that God was punishing them for something bad they did. So if you got leprosy, you were not only sick, but people thought that you were a bad person. And so when the lepers would come by and say, "Stay away from me, I'm a leper," people would go running every which way. They would slam their doors. Sometimes people would throw rocks even at them and yell at them and say, "Stay away, get away. We don't want you around here." There were 10 lepers that were walking down the road, and Jesus was coming down the road the other way. And the lepers were ringing their bells, and they were saying, "Stay away from me, I'm a leper." Do you think Jesus ran away? No, Jesus was brave. He was courageous, and he did something different that nobody else did. He says, "Go show yourselves to the priests, to the authorities, and they will see that you have been cured, that you've been made well." Jesus healed them. And so as they went, they noticed, "Hey, all my sores are gone. I don't have sores on my fingers or my ears or my nose or my toes or my legs or my arms. I'm made well. And they were happy because not only were they not sick anymore, but that also meant that they could go back home. They could go back and they could see their friends. They could go back to work. They could go back to school. They could go back being a normal person once again. And they were happy, and they went running off down the road, all except for one of them. And the one of them said, "Hey, I just got cured." And he ran back and he said to Jesus, "Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for making me well once again." You know, sometimes we get in that state where we're just lonely. Nobody really wants to play with us. We don't think that anybody wants to be around us, but we always know that Jesus is there. Jesus is always our friend, and he can always help us. If we're feeling sad, if we're feeling lonely, we can always talk to Jesus. We can say a prayer to Jesus and say, "Jesus, please help me. Please be with me. Please be my friend." And Jesus will be there with you. And when Jesus does help you, always remember to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping me in all things." Okay, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our friend, who does help us in all our needs. Please be with us in all things and help us to remember to say thank you to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, y'all can go sit down.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was encountering these texts and thinking about these texts, one of the things I was so struck by was this shaping of a holy pattern that we are encountered by today in the Scripture. And you even hear a little bit of it in the first line of a psalm, and we as a people who worship in the liturgy can certainly appreciate, "Hallelujah, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation." A little precursor from the psalms about our worship life today, and an entry into thinking about the holy patterns that God has shaped for our lives. And this holy patterning that we're encountering, it starts as we meet Naaman in our Old Testament reading. And it's an interesting thing to have this man who's a commander, a general in the army, and yet who has leprosy. And as we were talking about leprosy, now we know it as Hansen's disease. It still exists today, but we can treat it. It takes 6 months to a year to treat. It's a bacterial infection, but in the ancient world they didn't know what the treatment was, and they thought that simply by touching someone or coming into contact with someone with leprosy, that you could get the disease yourself. And even today there are still a few leper colonies left around the world. Because one of the things that happens with the disease is, even if it were treatable, it still can cause disfiguration, it still causes great pain as it eats through nerve endings and you lose circulation. And this is where we understand now about people having, fingers, losing ears, losing their nose to these pieces in leprosy. And so this was a horrible disease that no one wanted to be around. And we meet Naaman, who's in a public spot, and yet this disease has started to affect him. And what we start to learn about this disease as we talk about it is that, especially in the ancient world, leprosy was a disease of separation. By virtue of having this disease, it meant you were going to be pushed further and further away to the edges of society and away from your family and away from everyone you would have had contact with before. And this is where this is where our pattern picks up, is this introduction of Naaman and his desire to end this leprosy. And it's important to note that Naaman is serving the king of Aram. He's a Syrian. He's not an Israelite. And they would raid the Israelites and capture people. And so in Naaman's household, there is a young Israelite girl who has been captured. For all intents and purposes, she's been taken as a slave by Naaman and his people. And in the start of this holy patterning of things, there is this young girl taken as a slave to serve in this household, and she sees that the man who has captured her, who has taken her away from her family, that he's ill. And she offers him a chance to be healed. And we have to start to think about what it is, what it would take to offer to the people who have captured us that chance for healing. And this is where this story begins to pick up. And so Naaman, with no other options, taking the word of this servant girl, says, well, then I'll go to Samaria and find this prophet. And what happens is the text misses a few verses, but Naaman's king sends a letter to the king of Israel, and thinking that since, well, there's talk of this great prophet, it must be the king. Naaman's king sends a letter to the king of Israel and says, heal my general, basically, or else I will attack you. And the king of Israel goes, I have absolutely no idea how to do this. And this is where we pick up with the king of Israel tearing apart his clothes for fear that he's being humiliated by the Syrians, and this is just an excuse to attack him. But Naaman has showed up, and the king, not knowing what to do, they're left in a bit of a question. And luckily, Elisha hears that there is this turmoil going on, with Naaman thinking the king is supposed to heal him and the king having no idea what to do. And in comes Elisha, and he says, send the man to me so that I can show him what God can do. And so Naaman goes, and Elisha gives him the relatively simple instruction, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And if we have in our mind that idea of a holy patterning, certainly washing in the Jordan will continue to show up in the life of the church again and again, with John the Baptist washing for repentance of sins in the Jordan, baptizing for repentance of sins, and Jesus Christ himself being baptized and the Spirit descending on him in the Jordan when God announces to the world, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. And so this patterning of life is starting to show up. But Naaman is not happy with this. He's expecting a grand show. He's expecting Elisha to come out of his house and say, abracadabra, and take the leprosy away from him like that. But it's pointed out that this was just a simple instruction. And maybe if you go do it, it'll work. And sure enough, we have this from the girl who was captured and tells her captor how to be healed, to the one being given the simple instruction that will remove from him this disease of separation. And that's where we have found Naaman. And that's also where we start to encounter Christ in our gospel lesson today. And, you know, we hear about Jesus. He sees these lepers at a distance. And again, there is a simple instruction. It is only go and show yourselves to the priests. And it is something that has the potential to be a very self-giving thing from Jesus Christ. Because it was the temple priests of the day who had the ability to say whether or not people were considered ritually clean, whether or not they could participate in the life of the temple, whether or not they could be in public with other people. And one might wonder if, though we had one leper return, if the other nine who were made clean, if it wasn't just a bit of such a giving act of Christ, if these nine would not have been in the crowds in Jerusalem saying, "Crucify him, crucify him," and yet he is the one who's healing them and giving them the ability to be there. And again, but like Naaman and like the one leper, there is yet the one person who returns and gives thanks and praises God when this healing happens. And so this is that pattern that we start to see. And it's still the pattern in our lives. Because just as we can think about leprosy as this disease of separation that kept these people away from their communities and started to, it would keep them, for the lepers especially, keeping them out of the temple. We have a disease of separation that still affects us. That is what sin does in our lives. Sin is the thing that keeps us separated from God. And yet, we have the holy pattern. And the holy pattern we take that washed in the Jordan, that baptized, and that is where we encounter Christ, just as the lepers. That's the place where Christ pours new life into us. It's in baptism that disease of separation, that sin, is broken down, and we are brought and we are justified, we are made righteous, we are able to be finally in the company of Christ. And this is what we hear in the psalm, the voice of the giving thanks, the hallelujah, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Because the disease of separation, the thing that keeps us away, has been removed. And now we can be again in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation of the righteous. And all of this holy patterning is also meant to help us when we do not always have the language to give thanks. There were the nine who didn't return to give thanks, and yet one who did. And we're shaped in a way so that even if we can't find the language ourselves, God gives us the language to give thanks. The ability to proclaim of God that His work is full of majesty and splendor and His righteousness endures forever. To tell everyone that He makes His marvelous works to be remembered because the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And it is in this patterning through washing and baptism and being brought to Him that we begin to know that He truly is ever mindful of His covenant. And so here we are seeing these acts, these self-giving acts, these healing acts that are meant to remove this disease of separation. And we can find this in our own lives. And that is the beauty and the promise of what it is to have been baptized and brought into Christ, that we are able to participate and worship Him in the fullness of the congregation. And that is how we are again able to echo the words of the psalm when we have no other way to say thanks, because we know that in Christ God has sent redemption to His people. And in Christ is here because He has commanded covenant with Him forever. And therefore, we can continue to go out rejoicing and proclaiming that holy and awesome is his name forever and ever. Amen.